You're listening to the Cross-Cutting Concerns podcast. I'm your host, Matt Groves. Please visit the site at crosscuttingconcerns.com, where you can subscribe, browse the archives, contact me, read show notes, and leave a comment. I'm recording this podcast on June 27, 2016. My guest today is a software engineer who has a focus on the front end, including web and mobile, Dan Schultz. How are you?
I'm doing great. Knee-deep in data visualization and analytics in recent history, and it's one of my favorite things to talk about, so I appreciate you having me on your show.
Cool. Thanks for coming on the show. Now, what are some of the tools that you are into right now for data visualization?
The full tool set for our dashboard we use the Mean Stack, which I don't know if you're familiar with it.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, well, Mean is an acronym for Mongo, Express, Angular, and Node. We're pretty much 100% JavaScript. We present traditional web analytics and attribution, but a lot of the data that we're visualizing is TV analytics, which is a relatively unique thing, kind of a new realm. So we need a really good tool for visualizing that data that might not just be limited to your traditional line charts and bar mm-hmm. charts. So that's we wound up using the D3 and DC JavaScript libraries for our data visualization.
Let's talk about D3.js. Now, what does it do, and what have you used it for?
D3 stands for data-driven documents, and it's basically a JavaScript library that can be used for manipulating the DOM based on data. It uses selectors kind of like jQuery, so if you have any familiarity with jQuery, you'll immediately be comfortable with D3's selectors.
Okay.
It's not a substitute for jQuery by any stretch, but it's really good at just binding data and appending elements. It's really easy to kind of dynamically update D3 charts either by user interaction or just from repulling a data source over and over. And I know we can't really get too deep in the actual code on an audio broadcast, but the actual dynamic updating in D3 is rooted in enter, update, exit pattern, and it's really well documented on d3js.org. But basically, on enter, you're binding the new or updated data to a container element. On update, you're appending any new elements to the container. When you exit, you're removing the elements that are no longer part of the new set of data. That's kind of like the basics behind it, but it's good, beyond just creating charts. A good example is we had to create a time zone picker and couldn't really find any controls out there that did exactly what we wanted. It was either overkill or just kind of not what we needed. And we ended up writing it in D3. It actually worked out pretty well because I think otherwise we'd just use maybe like an HTML5 canvas or something like that. I thought it was a little more straightforward even to build something like that in D3. And it's a minuscule control. It's really fast and it does exactly what we want. And it's kind of consistent with how we code the rest of our site using D3.
When I think of data visualization, I usually think of reports, but you've actually used it for a UI element.
Yeah, it's really flexible because, like I said,
cool.
you can use it pretty much. It's widely used with like SVG elements, etc. But you can use it on HTML elements, whatever you want. I always kind of think like just the visual nature of it really kind of overlaps the whole designer-developer interaction. I think a designer is gonna really appeal to a person that's more of a UI designer of the visual nature of it, but obviously thorough knowledge of JavaScript is required. But I think it's really good from a design as well as development tool. Kind of like typography. I always think pretty much that's usually in the realm of the developer, but there's real science behind it that I think appeals to developers as well. I think that's another area that overlaps both areas.
Now, what about the other one, DC, that you mentioned? What does it do that's different than D3?
DC actually runs on top of D3.js, and I should mention that it also requires another JavaScript library called crossfilter.js. CrossFilter really has nothing to do with charting, but is really great at grouping and reducing multi-dimensional data really fast, like even data sets with a million rows. Of course, with large data sets like that, no matter how efficient the library is, you still are going to deal with the issue of initial load time of the data. DC has a lot of helper methods that kind of take care of a lot of the plumbing that's necessary when you use D3JS, like I was telling you about the enter, update, exit pattern. Mm-hmm. That's good to know, but it's kind of abstracted away when you use DCJS. Like, you're just going to new up a line chart with DC, calling like DC.linechart, and then set all the properties. I guess what I'm trying to say in a long-winded explanation of DC is that it gives you the ability to have like a dashboard of lots of charts representing like different dimensions of the same data. It gives you the ability to maybe like manipulate any one chart and reflect and apply that selection to the other charts on the page. So it's really interactive, and it gives the end user just an ability to slice and dice their data in an infinite number of different ways. That's in conjunction with CrossFilter.
So are you using it for dashboards and reports or something else?
Mainly for dashboards and charting, as far as DC goes. Yeah, we kind of build our dashboard with DC.
How does it compare to a charting tool like HiCharts?
Well, HiCharts is pretty much comparable with I guess, D3 than it is DC. I mean, there's also another charting library called AnyChart that's also good, as well as other libraries and frameworks like, I'm sure you're familiar with Cench's EXTJS.
Sure.
But like, that's such a gigantic library, I don't think it's something you're just going to add in for data visualization and charting. But I would say HiCharts is a good choice for charting, like especially if you're just kind of looking for standard bar charts and line charts. Mm-hmm. Even though I went to their website last week and I saw that they have all kinds of charts now, pie charts, bubble, scatter plot, composite charts, 3D stuff. I still would say that D3 is more of like a data visualization library. It gives you the ability to create the simple charts, but also any complex visualization you could imagine. Well, like, I guess a good example, I've seen a parallel coordinates chart that's been created using D3, and it kind of shows multi-dimensions on like several y-axes connected by lines, almost like telephone poles. It's hard to describe in an audio podcast, but if you Google, parallel coordinate chart, you'll see some great D3 examples. Really, another interesting way to just kind of visualize multi-dimensional data. In fact, we're considering using something like this on our dashboard in the future.
I'll add some of these links to the show notes for sure, so if you're struggling to picture it, you can just click on the link and check some things out.
Yeah, and I guess I'd say D3 might be better for like the non-traditional charts and visualization. However, HiCharts, it does support like IE8 and I think before. So if you really need to support older browsers, you would definitely want to consider HiCharts.
How well are these tools supported by various browsers, including desktop and mobile? This goes back to, the older ones like IE8 and some of the more cutting-edge ones as well.
I mean, D3 works with all the modern browsers. By that, I guess I mean Chrome, Firefox, Safari, Opera, IE9 and above. And it almost like directly ties browser support for SVG graphics, which is kind of an integral part of DC and D3. So again, if you need to support IE8 or before, you'll definitely want to go with like HiCharts or AnyChart. I know there's some shims to get D3 to work with earlier versions of IE8, but like a lot of time, when you use the shims, you end up more fighting with them more than getting the most out of the library. But D3 does have the dependency I'd mentioned on CrossFilter, but like there's no Silverlight or Flash dependency or anything like that. If you want to use DCJS, there's just those three scripts. All of them are just pure JavaScript. And in all my time working with it, I've never come across an issue, anything like, oh, D3 is behaving this way in a particular browser, we need to fix it. It's usually developer error if we have any issues like that. Most of the mobile browsers are based on either WebKit or the Chromium or Blink rendering engines, and they're probably even more solid than the desktop browsers as far as the D3 charting goes. Then again, think of twice about using D3 if you do have to support IE8 or before. We're a little lucky in that most of our users are either marketing professionals or executives, so IE8 is usually not an issue.
Now, if I'm interested in starting to learn how to use these libraries, is there any place you can recommend to go to start learning how to use these tools, or any resources you'd recommend?
Yeah, well, if you go to, I think it's d3js.org, there's just a ton. There's a link to like a ton of great tutorials and walkthroughs that you can walk you through like the basics as well as a lot of advanced techniques. There's all different levels. And I think through that site, you can subscribe to the D3 newsletter. It's called like the Dashing D3 newsletter. You can search for it on Twitter as well to follow them. But it's always packed with like the latest D3 news and tips and tricks. Every newsletter has so much information, it's almost hard to keep up with it all, which that's pretty good evidence that it's really being actively supported.
That's good. What about DC?
It'll touch on D3 and DC. Yes.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. So before we wrap up, anything else you want to plug before we go?
My Twitter handle is dschultz, D-S-H-U-L-T-Z. There's no C in Schultz. And also, I've experimented with portability and using JavaScript apps, so you can search for me in most like any application outlet, Google Play, Windows 8, Chrome Web Store, Amazon, Mozilla Marketplace.
Okay.
I have a few conference submissions in, but I don't really want to mention that unless I get accepted.
Okay. If you get any before this show is published, let me know and I'll add them to the links.
I'll do that. Okay.
My guest today has been Dan Schultz. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks. It's great to be here. Good luck with this podcast. You know, I think it's I like the lightning talk style format of it. I think it's cool for me.
This has been the Cross-Cutting Concerns Podcast, produced and recorded by Matt Groves 2016. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media and leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you downloaded this podcast. For show notes, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com. This episode is recorded under the Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 license. The hosting for this podcast is made possible in part by Microsoft. It was recorded and mixed with the help of Skype and Audacity. The theme music is by The Dirty Truckers. You can buy their music on Amazon or iTunes.
We even record all of our wacky off-show banter is going to be recorded.
Okay. Well, it'll be for the DVD extras, right?